To say that my Grandma Beryl was a character would be an understatement. She was fashionable, classy, so very witty and bright. She was also stubborn, strong-willed, and very mysterious. She wasn't the grandma who was going to knit you a sweater or bake you cookies. No, she was the grandma who always had a freezer full of designer ice cream, cupboards packed with decadent cakes and boxes of fancy chocolates. She was slender, chic, and stylish. A real independent woman. She loved musical theater, post-war big bands, and dancing. She traveled all over the world by herself or with her girlfriends. They liked to go on cruises, and my grandma was always the star of the dance floor. She flirted with the dance hosts as they twirled, waltzed, chausseed, and promenade across the ballroom. She was so vibrant, elegant, and fun. A real woman of a bygone era. Yet on February 28th, 2019, at 1:10 p.m. in a stiflingly stuffy hospital ward, my aunt, uncle, mom, and I surrounded my beautiful grandma's hospital bed as her soul left its mortal shell to eternally dance among the stars. We sat in the hospital for days by her side. My mom and I didn't leave her bedside once, not to sleep, shower, or even eat. We just sat with her, reminiscing about old times, sharing memories of vacations we had taken together, laughing about late-night apricot jam-making sessions, and those special quiet moments my grandma and I spent alone talking serious. My grandma and I were extremely close. She used to call me her special, much to the chagrin of my mother, who thought it was wrong for her to have favorites. But she didn't care. I was her special, and she was mine. Those last days in the hospital together were the hardest days I have ever had to live through. But I am so, so thankful that my mom and I were together with her till the very end, laughing, cuddling, and sharing stories. The same stories that keep us tied together even to this day. This whole scene might sound very similar to some of you who have lost loved ones as well. And although my grandma has passed, I still love to think that one day I will experience her presence on this earth. Even though my grandma hasn't come to visit me yet, lots of you have shared very special stories with me about your beautiful moments when your loved ones have come back to say a final farewell, comfort, and help guide you through difficult times. Welcome to a very special episode of The West London Witch. This episode is dedicated to all of our loved ones who, although are no longer here physically to share the holiday season with us, are still very much present. This is a podcast where we share stories about those moments where we find ourselves very much not alone. And today, we share the stories about those special moments that are truly a gift from above. Thank you. When listeners write into the show to share stories, the most common tales are not about haunted houses, poltergeists, or evil spirits. They're about your family members. They are gorgeous stories about wonderful interactions with the spirit world. They are stories of reconnecting. Today, we have a collection of stories for you that are more precious than any gift you could ever receive. So grab a box of tissues, refill your apple cider, and snuggle up by the fire. I'm Rebecca Strazina, and this is The West London Witch. Episode 11, For Grandma. When our loved ones pass, although spiritually and intellectually, we may know that they are still with us. Emotionally, I believe a lot of us still want confirmation of that. We want some sort of sign that they are still around, that they see what we're up to. And most of all, that they're proud of us. This first story is back from my hometown. An old friend of mine, Elise, was kind enough to share with us a story about her great-grandmother.
Okay, so my dad is the oldest of 8 children. So there's my dad, my grandma Diana, her mom Leona. My dad was born to a very young teenage mother, and so for most of his life growing up, his grandmother, Leona, was like his mom. She was the maternal, comforting one in the family. His mom worked and stuff like that. So his grandmother was the one that would like cook him meals and ask how his day was. And even when he became an adult, like she was always the person he went to for advice and, you know, comfort when things got difficult. I remember he told me that when his first marriage ended, he went and stayed with his grandmother for a couple weeks because she was the only person he felt comfortable telling. So they just had a really special relationship, and he used to take me to go visit her when I was little, and she lived right around the corner from where my parents live today, and that was intentional because my grandmother, great-grandmother, she was the most astute businesswoman of her time. It was pretty amazing. She bought real estate like it's no one's business because someone gave her that piece of advice. Bought up a bunch of real estate. She thought it would be a good idea to give every grandchild, my dad included, their own house as part of their inheritance. It was amazing. She was incredible. I look up to her in so many ways. So the house that my parents live in was gifted to my dad when he was, I think, like 25 or something. And it's the house that he's lived in ever since. And they always had a very, like, you know, close back and forth. You know, like I said, she lived around the corner. We saw her often. It was like a big part of life. And she passed away, I want to say, in 97 or something. So I was pretty little. I don't remember her a lot, but I remember that, you know, my dad was very fond of her. And my mom is in many ways like very, very integrated into my dad's side of the family. My dad is, you know, loving, but also a little bit like shy, a little bit aloof, a little introverted. So my mom has really stepped up and been like taking the place of him in the family. She's kind of like the oldest child. She helps his siblings get organized to do big events for my grandparents and stuff.
In 2012, both Elise and her younger brother had moved away for university, leaving her mom and dad alone in the family home.
And around that time, you know, of course, they were like really sad, empty nesters, a lot was going on. There was certainly a lot going on with my grandparents. My dad's mom and his stepfather, like my grandparents, they were very sick for different reasons. At one point, my grandfather was in the hospital, like absolutely on death's door. He'd had surgery after surgery. He had some crazy like bowel obstruction or something like that. He was horribly ill and he got MRSA while he was in the hospital, like a horrible staph infection. My grandma was having like heart issues and she had to keep going to the ER and she was having like flu after flu. So it was a really dire situation. And my dad and his siblings are not the best at figuring out what to do in a crisis situation and rallying together. So my mom was really at the helm.
Thankfully, both of Elisa's grandparents turned a corner and made a full recovery. They are healthy, happy, and at home. This is due in a large part to the decisions made by Elisa's mom and the time that she dedicated to them while they were in the hospital, and also to the fabulous aftercare she provided to them once they were discharged.
A couple months after my grandparents were home safe, no one's in the house except for my parents, and my mom is very much the like tidy, neat freak, germophobic lady. She would make sure the bedrooms were absolutely clean, perfect, nothing out of place, exactly as we had left them when we went away to college. A couple times, she would walk down the hall to the restroom in the house and notice that the door was open and the lights were on. And she would go to my dad and like accuse him of going in there and like taking a nap and stuff. Like, look, you got your own bed, you got the couch. Why do you need to go in Elisa's bedroom and take a nap and stuff? Or like, what are you opening the door for, like the cats and dogs and stuff? Like, don't let them in Elisa's room. I have to keep going in there and turning the light off and closing the door. And my dad was like, it's definitely not me doing it. You must be doing it and forgetting. I know you're really busy during the day. So some time goes by and my dad starts noticing the same thing. Lights are on, doors open. He questions my mom about it. Same thing. She wasn't there. She didn't do it. Why would she do that? And they're just really confused. They're starting to think there's an electrical issue. So they call an electrician out to see if there's like faulty wiring anywhere. Cause it's, you know, it's a fire hazard and there's no problem on that end. And my mom one day is like casually mentioning this to my dad's sister, and she lives out of town. She's just listening to her sister-in-law tell a story. Oh, huh, that's weird. Yeah, it's kind of strange. I don't know. Sounds like you got problems. I wish for the best. And my aunt relays it to a friend of hers, who is a Filipino woman. I don't know her name, but she's a family friend of theirs. And she is known amongst her local Filipino community as a white woman, a healer, a seer. So this woman, friend of my aunt's, never met my mom, never met my aunt's family, doesn't know anything about the situation. She doesn't even have to ask questions. She just tells my aunt to tell your sister-in-law it's Leona. I don't know what that means. I don't know that name, but it's a woman named Leona, and she wants to tell you thank you. She wants to tell you thank you for everything you've done for her daughter, for her son-in-law, for the whole family. I see what you've done, and I really, really appreciate everything that you've been doing. I just want you to notice. I wanted you to know that I noticed what you did for this family, and I'm so grateful because I couldn't be there to do it myself. So just thank you. And as soon as my aunt relayed that story to my mom, the light stopped coming on and the door stopped opening.
For Elisa's mom, this was a powerful affirmation that Leona had seen her care so lovingly for her daughter and son-in-law, and that she appreciated all of the love, time, and sacrifice she made in order to step up to the plate and care for her family. And perhaps it also made her feel like she wasn't alone during that time of hardship. For even though the storm was treacherous, Grandma Leona was by her side, helping guide her through it. I was so very lucky that I got to be with my grandmother in her final moments. But we're not all blessed with that opportunity. And as hard as it is to say goodbye to our loved ones, they also want a final moment with us before they leave this sphere. In our next story, Vicky shares with us a beautiful story about how her great-grandfather made sure that his dying wish came true.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start at the beginning, which is always a good place to start. There was a time when I was 11 and I had no influence from religion, from my parents. They brought me up to believe in whatever I wanted to believe. There wasn't going to be a ceremony of anything. It was just what you are is what you're going to be, blah, blah, blah. So I had no preconceived ideas of anything at all. And my great-grandfather lived all his life in Cornwall, right at the tip in St. Just.
From where Vicky and her family lived in Winchester to where her great-grandfather was in Cornwall was a solid 3.5-hour drive. So they didn't get to visit him as much as they would have liked. Vicky was only able to meet him a handful of times in her life.
There was a time when we were moving from Andover to Winchester, and my mum at the time had 4 children. So we had 2 boys, 2 girls. And in order that we could store all the boxes, etc., we had to my bedroom became the storeroom for the boxes. And we slept in almost like a dorms type setup. So there was my older brother, myself, younger brother, younger sister in a cot. And I was very aware that my great-grandfather was ill with cancer, but at the time I didn't know the impact, right, but the real gravity, what that meant. So anyway, one night I went to bed and everyone was asleep, and it was just this whole room illuminated. And I was torn between, am I dreaming or am I not? So anyway, I decided to pinch myself to test this theory, and it hurt. Yes, I was awake. So I thought, well, why is it so light here? There was no road. There was no light shining in from cars. All the logical reasons I was running my brain through, and I couldn't think of anything. And as I was trying then to go, okay, I count sheep or something to get back to sleep, my great-grandfather walked into the bedroom. Clear as day. Absolutely, could see him. And I knew it was him, but I didn't know him well enough to be certain of that. But I was certain inside me. But I wasn't scared. I was completely at peace. And it was just the most uplifting, calm environment to be in. It was just so still. And like time had just slowed right down. And he walked. I've gone all bumpy now just remembering. It's just such a lovely memory. And he walked past the first bed, which was my older brother, and he put his hand down. My brother had his arms outside the bedclothes, and he put it on top of his hand. And I thought, there's something not quite right. Can't figure it out. But hey, this is a lovely moment. I'm not going to question it. Then he walked over to me and winked. And I was like, oh, that's cool. This is nice. And then he went over to younger brother. He did the same thing with him, hand on hand. And then the cot, my sister was in a cot. She was about 18 months. And he leant through the bars of the cot. So, and my brain was like, no, this is very strange. He leant through the cot. But still, it was such a lovely moment. And as I just took a breath, and in that breath, he was gone. And it was just like the curtain wafted out and wafted in. And then the darkness across the room come over me. And I thought, this is just, wow, this is just something I knew it was very, very special.
The next morning, when Vicky awoke, she ran downstairs to share this amazing experience with her mom and dad.
And my dad was so anti, don't freak anyone out. There's no such thing as ghosts. It's just ridiculous. And he was quite a man of few words. So when he wanted to say something, it was usually just shut up. I don't want to hear it. When I went downstairs, I said, oh, you'll never guess what I saw last night. I saw great granddaddy was in my room. And he was like, shut up. That'd be ridiculous. And then I started to say it again. He's like, you're going to scare your brothers and sisters. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not, because they've just had this experience too. And he was just adamant, do not talk about it. And he was in the throes of saying, your great-granddad, and he went on to tell me at a later date, he was going to go on and say, he's in Cornwall, he's fine. The phone rang at that exact moment. And my mum picked up the phone, and I went, it's Gran. And my mum went, it is Gran. Your great-granddad died that night. And I went, yeah, I know, I saw him. I've been trying to tell you, I saw him, it's fine. He said a goodbye to everyone. And then, shortly after this, after my dad had calmed down, he actually just went out, slammed the door. Well, that was it. It was just too much. And apparently my dad used to travel down on his own on the motorbike to see him more frequently than we did. And the last time he visited him, he said his greatest wish would be, is to say goodbye to all his family before he leaves Earth. He absolutely nailed it. He saw us all, and he had a big family. So I'm pretty sure in the time it took him to pass and the time he actually left, he had absolutely done what he said he was going to do. And he is the reason that my world and my thought process between spirit, spirituality, universe changed entirely, because I'm not scared. I'm not freaked out. I know there's an inner peace. He is my inspiration. And I believe, in some essence, my guide to how I connect to the spirit wide also.
One of the hardest parts about not having our loved ones around us anymore is we can't ask for their advice. We can't come to them with our troubles. We can't get their opinion or ask for their wisdom. So many times I have gone to call my grandma so we could talk serious. And I think it's in those moments that I feel her loss so profoundly. It takes me right back to day one of grieving. Our final story comes to us from one of my very best friends, Monique. When she was 10 years old, her mom's dad, her grandfather, passed away. They were a very close family, and his passing was a devastating loss. But with these wonderful stories, he continues to live on.
I've only known my grandfather to be wearing an oxygen tank. His oxygen tank would be running around the house, and our aunts and uncles would have to tell us to stop stepping on his oxygen tank because he'll just all of a sudden not have air to breathe. So it was a very vivid part of my childhood. Like, grandpa's on oxygen. This is very important. He needs this.
One evening during Monique's junior year of college, her and her mom got into a bitter argument. Neither of them felt heard, understood, or supported by the other.
There was this one evening I got into this really big fight with my mom. We just weren't seeing eye to eye. And my mom is very religious, and she was just having a difficult time with whatever we were going through. And she said, you know, Monique, you know, just pray for me and, you know, I'll figure this out. And I said, Mom, nothing's going to change if you don't take action. Like, praying for you is not going to help. And of course, to someone who avidly believes that, that's like gut wrenching for her daughter to say that to her, or to, for those words to come out of my mouth. And that's kind of where we left it. We were both upset. I felt like she didn't hear me. She felt like I wasn't getting through to her. And then I went to sleep that night after having this argument with my mom, and I saw my grandfather, and he had no oxygen tank. He was sitting in his chair in his favorite spot in the living room. And he looked totally healthy and he looked amazing. And in my whole life, I've never seen my grandfather look healthy, much less without an oxygen tank. And so I went over to him, I kneel down, and I start weeping. And internally, I'm thinking, man, I hope this lasts a long time. I knew I was sleeping, but I knew it was more real than a dream. I knew that he was right there. Because again, in my opinion, your imagination recalls on things that you know, or calls on things that you've seen before. And this is something that I'd never seen before. I've never seen him healthy. And so, you know, I asked him how he's doing, and he asked me why I'm crying. And I said, you know, I've never seen you. I haven't seen you in years, and you look healthy and you look great. And I asked him, what do I do about mom? How can I help her? And he says, Monique, just pray. And then I went to sleep with catharsis, having seen him. And then the next day at work, one of my mom's coworkers said to her, oh, you know, you just got to think a little bit more positively. Maybe this step of action will help you change in this, or change your scenario in this way. So that week, I really felt like I had heard my mom's message through my grandfather, and my mom had heard my message through a coworker of hers. But I really believe that was my grandfather, and he told me that message in order to be able, you know, to have a better relationship with my mom and to help her in that way.
I love this story because I like the idea that our loved ones can actively help us from the other side. But I want to leave you with my very favorite story Monique shared with me. And it's about her little brother, Beau.
after my grandfather passed away, so again, I was 10. My brother was diagnosed with autism when he was about two and a half or three. And that's when my grandfather had passed away. So with autism, basically my brother had learned to speak. He was speaking a little bit. And then all of a sudden, around age two, everything was gone. He stopped speaking completely and was nonverbal and had to relearn all those skills. And so my grandfather just passed. It was maybe a couple days after his funeral. And we were in the kitchen and my brother just starts laughing. Again, he's like two and a half, three years old. He just starts laughing. My mom is like, "What are you laughing about? What are you laughing?" And my brother points to my grandfather's chair and he says, "Grandpa." And my brother doesn't speak. At that point, he didn't speak that much. He lost his speech. He wasn't really saying anything. And my mom totally believed it. She just knew. But my grandpa's visited us all.
Stories like these give me so much faith that one day I'll see my grandma again on this earth. I have no unfinished business with her. Nothing I desperately need to tell her. I'm just greedy. I just want to hug her one last time and tell her I love her and have her call me her special. It is so difficult to celebrate the holidays when we are missing our loved ones. But please know you're not alone. Our loved ones are there with us, singing carols, burning the turkey, drinking a little too much, and giving us a hug and a kiss goodnight. This holiday season, light a candle for your loved one. Share stories about them and raise a glass to their memory. Because even if we can't see them, that doesn't mean that they're not right beside us. From all of us here at the West London Witch, thank you for supporting the show through 2020. We look forward to bringing you more stories from the other side in 2021. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and a very Merry Christmas. Do you have a spooky story you'd like to share? I'd love to hear it. Drop me an email at thewestlondonwitch@gmail.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at The West London Witch. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. And come and follow us for additional content on Instagram and Facebook. Witch is created by me, Rebecca Strazina. Our sound designer and production magician is the incredible Danny Cross. Our theme music was bespokely written and performed by the wickedly talented Kyle Hall. Our cover art is the beautiful collaboration between Lizzie Wilson and Jake Bowser. Special thanks to Miss Sinead Bowers, our quality control and biggest cheerleader. And thank you to you, all of our listeners all over the world. These are your stories. Thank you for sharing them with us.